Chapter 8. On June 18th, 5 hours after he had talked to his cousin Bill Hapscom, Joe Bob Brentwood pulled down a speeder on Texas Highway 40, about 25 miles east of Braintree. The speeder was Harry Trent of Braintree, an insurance man. He had been doing 65 miles per in a 50-mile-an-hour zone. Joe Bob gave him a speeding ticket. Trent accepted it humbly and then amused Joe Bob by trying to sell him insurance on his house and his life. Joe Bob felt fine. Dying was the last thing on his mind. Nevertheless, he was already a sick man. He had gotten more than gas at Bill Hapscom's Texaco, and he gave Harry Trent more than a speeding summons. Harry, a gregarious man who liked his job, passed the sickness to more than 40 people during that day and the next. How many those 40 passed it to is impossible to say. You might as well ask how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. On June 19th, the day Larry Underwood came home to New York and the day that Franny Goldsmith told her father about her impending little stranger, Harry Trent stopped at an East Texas cafe called Babe's Quick Eat for lunch. He had the cheeseburger platter and a piece of Babe's delicious strawberry pie for dessert. He had a slight cold, an allergy cold maybe, and he kept sneezing and having to spit. In the course of the meal, he infected Babe, the dishwasher, the two truckers in the corner booth, the man who came in to deliver bread, the man who came in to change the records on the juke, and the sweet fang that waited his table. He left her a dollar tip that was crawling with death. On his way out, a station wagon pulled in. There was a roof rack on top, and the wagon was piled high with kids and luggage. The wagon had New York plates, and the driver, who rolled down his window to ask Harry how to get to U.S. 21 going north, had a New York accent. Harry gave the New York fellow very explicit directions on how to get to Highway 21. He also gave him the sickness. The New Yorker was Edward M. Norris, lieutenant of police, detective squad, in the New York precinct. This was his first real vacation in 5 years. He and his family had had a really fine time. The kids had been in seventh heaven at Disney World in Orlando, and the whole family would be dead by the second day of July. The Norris family had a quick eat at Babe's and then followed Harry Trent's admirable directions to Highway 21. Ed and his wife, Trish, marveled over Southern hospitality while the three kids colored in the back seat. That night they stayed in a Eustis, Oklahoma travel court. Ed and Trish infected the clerk. The kids, Marcia, Stanley, and Hector, infected the kids they played with on the tourist court's playground, kids bound for West Texas, Alabama, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Trish woke Ed up in the early morning hours to tell him that Heck the baby was sick. He had an ugly, rasping cough and was running a fever. It sounded to her like the croup. Ed Norris groaned and told her to give the kid some aspirin. If the kid's goddamn croup could only have held off another 4 or 5 days, he could have had it in his very own house, and Ed would have been left with the memory of a perfect vacation. He could hear the poor kid through the connecting door, hacking away like a hound dog. Trish expected that Hector's symptoms would abate in the morning. Croup was a lying-down sickness. But by noon of the 20th, she admitted to herself that it wasn't happening. The aspirin wasn't controlling the fever. Poor Heck was just glassy-eyed with it. His cough had taken on a booming note she didn't like, and his respiration sounded labored and phlegmy. Whatever it was, Marcia seemed to be coming down with it, too. And Trish had a nasty little tickle in the back of her throat that was making her cough, although so far it was a light cough that she could smother in a small hanky. "We've got to get Heck to a doctor," she said finally. Ed pulled into a service station and checked the map paperclip to the station wagon's sun visor. They were in Hammer Crossing, Kansas. "I don't know," he said. "Maybe we can at least find a doctor who'll give us a referral." He finally found a doctor in Polliston who would look at Hector if they could get him there by 3. Polliston was off their route, 20 miles west of Hammer Crossing, but now the important thing was Hector. Ed was getting very worried about the boy. They were waiting in the outer office of Dr. Brendan Sweeney by 2 in the afternoon. By then, Ed was sneezing, too. Sweeney's waiting room was full. They didn't get in to see him until nearly 4 o'clock. Trish couldn't rouse Heck to more than a sludgy semi-consciousness, and she felt feverish herself. Only Stan Norris, age 9, still felt good enough to fidget. During their wait in Sweeney's office, they communicated the sickness to more than 25 people, including a matronly woman who just came in to pay her bill before going on to pass the disease to her entire bridge club. This matronly woman was Mrs. Robert Bradford, Sarah Bradford to the bridge club, Cookie to her husband and close friends. Sarah played well that night, possibly because her partner was Angela Dupre, her best friend. They seemed to enjoy a happy kind of telepathy. They won all three rubbers resoundingly, making a grand slam during the last. For Sarah, the only fly in the ointment was that she seemed to be coming down with a cold. It wasn't fair coming so soon on the heels of the last one. She and Angela went out for a quiet drink in a cocktail bar after the party broke up at 10. Angela was in no hurry to get home. It was David's turn to have the weekly poker game at their house, and she just wouldn't be able to sleep with all that noise going on. Unless she had a little self-prescribed sedative first, which in her case would be two slow gin fizzes. Sarah had a ward 8, and the two women rehashed the bridge game. In the meantime, they managed to infect everyone in the Polliston cocktail bar, including two young men drinking beer nearby. They were on their way to California, just as Larry Underwood and his friend Rudy Schwartz had once gone, to seek their fortunes. A friend of theirs had promised them jobs with a moving company. The next day, they headed west, spreading the disease, which came to be known on the West Coast as Captain Trips, as they went.